Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Healing Hearts. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us today. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 16, we will read verse 6 through 8. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were very afraid. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Like Peter, sometimes we fail Jesus. We try our best to get it right. We try our best to live godly lives. But sometimes when we try our hardest to please God, we fail to get it right every time. But our God is a God who forgives and a God who forgets. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 31:33, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." That's simply amazing that God says that he will forgive our iniquities and our sins he will remember no more. And that statement is so important that the Apostle Paul repeated it three times in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Jesus had just been tried and convicted, and he was crucified. Peter had promised Jesus that he would fight and die for him. He told Jesus that whatever happened, he would always be with him. But Jesus told Peter, "Before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me." Peter could not believe what Jesus was telling him. But sure enough, when Peter saw Jesus on trial and he saw the abuse and the beatings and the blood running from his head and the way the soldiers abused Jesus, Peter's heart failed him. He was overcome with fear. He could do nothing but tremble in his very sandals that he was wearing. And then a little girl approached Peter. And the little girl said, "Weren't you one of the ones who were with Jesus of Nazareth?" And the Bible said Peter denied it, saying, "I don't know him, nor do I understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed one time. And the servant girl saw him again with others who stood by. And the Bible said, one of them said to him, "Weren't you one of the ones who were with Jesus of Nazareth?" But he denied it again. They said, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows that you are a Galilean." And Peter denied it again. Then he began to curse and to swear. And he said, "I do not know this man of whom you speak," meaning Jesus. And a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about that, he wept and he cried, and he went out from among them. We don't know where Peter went in the city of Jerusalem, but I would imagine that Peter went somewhere just so that he could hide his face from the embarrassment, from the shame. He just wanted to find some rock and crawl under the rock and just stay there, full of shame and guilt. He had failed Jesus miserably. But God is a God of midnight. He's a God of our dark times. He's a God that will come to us even when we are overcome with guilt and shame, even when we feel that we are not good enough, God will come to us. Remember the Apostle Paul, who was struck down with blindness on the Damascus Road? And the Bible said, as he was laying in the dirt on the road, he opened his eyes, but he could see no one. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, nor did he eat anything. Many times, God does not make us great in the times when we feel great. God engraves us, and he makes us great in his time, especially in our dark times. And the Apostle Paul was in dark times when God struck him with blindness on the Damascus Road. But it was during those times that he received his greatest revelation from God. God is in the business of creating great character in the darkest nights of your soul. Remember Daniel? Daniel's moment of truth did not take place under a spotlight, but it came before an open window in Babylon where he prayed to God. David's defining moment did not come among his father's sheep at home, but it came in a battlefield against the Philistine giant. He came forth with a great passion to know and to follow God's heart. As I read Mark 16 and 7, where Jesus said, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before them into Galilee after his resurrection, and there you will see him as he said to you," I thought to myself, why in the world would Jesus call Peter's name, especially since Peter had denied him 3 times in the time in which he needed Peter the most? You would think that Jesus would have said, "Go tell John to meet me in Galilee," because John was the disciple whom he left in charge of his mother. He was the disciple that was at the foot of the cross. Even while Jesus lay on the cross, Peter could be found nowhere. He was hiding in humiliation. But Jesus told the angel to tell his disciples and Peter to meet him in Galilee. And so the angels told the women who came to the empty tomb to go tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is risen. He's not in the grave anymore. He's not dead. In other words, he was saying that your hope is still alive. Your hope is not dead. God didn't send the angels to the high priest to inform them of the resurrection of his son. He didn't send them to the great Sanhedrin council to inform them of the resurrection of his son. He didn't send them to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He didn't send them to the theologians of his day. He didn't send them to the men of wealth and means, but he told the angels to go tell the women who were gathered at the tomb to tell his disciples and Peter to meet them in Galilee. He wanted Peter especially to know to meet him because Peter had been the one who was so devastated and embarrassed by his denial of Christ. He wanted Peter to know that he was still his disciple and that Jesus had risen. Peter was still a disciple, and especially tell Peter to meet me in Galilee. For remember in Mark 14 and 28, Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross that after I have been raised from the dead, I will go before you to Galilee, and I want you to meet me there. So Jesus Christ is now telling his disciples to meet him in Galilee and not to leave out Peter, even though Peter had denied him. From a human standpoint of view, I could understand if Jesus had left out Peter's name because Peter had denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus needed him most. But the Son of God did not do that. Why did Jesus send a special message just to Peter? Jesus was more eager to comfort Peter than to punish him. There are some who would have us to believe that God is out to punish us and God is looking for little things in our lives to punish us with. But we serve a God that even when we forget him, he still remembers us. When Jesus called out Peter's name, especially after his resurrection from the grave, it was proof of Jesus' love and forgiveness, compassion and mercy. Jesus trusts us even in our defeats, even in our defects. Jesus trusts us. Jesus was more eager to comfort Peter than to punish Peter. Before Peter's failure, Jesus had prayed for him that his faith should not fail him. And he told Peter, "And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." What Jesus was saying to Peter is that even though you may fail him, even though you may stray away from Jesus from time to time, God's faith is inside of you. The seed of faith is inside of you. You will return to Jesus, just like the prodigal son. While he was away from the father and he found himself in the pig pen, the Bible said he came to himself and he said, "In my father's house, even the servants have food, and I am working in this pig pen, dying of starvation. I will arise and I will go back to my father and I will ask him if I can return home." Our God is a God that does not hold your past against you. Our God is a God that does not keep a record of your wrongdoings. Our God is a God who forgives and forgets the iniquities of our past. Perhaps Peter thought that Jesus did not want to see him again. But what Jesus was saying when he sent message to Peter to come to Galilee is that even though you repeatedly denied me, I still love you, Peter. Come to Galilee. I want to see you. I have a work for you to do, Peter. And the Bible said when Peter finally met Jesus in Galilee after his resurrection, Jesus had one question for Peter. And the Bible said in John 21:15, when Jesus saw Peter, he said to him, "Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, and then Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." And he said to him a second time, he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my flock." And then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I think anyone would have been grieved to have been asked three times the very same question. But Jesus was trying to make a special point in speaking to Peter, and it's hard to see that in the English language. In the English language, we use love to describe all kinds of feelings, from worship and adoration to lust and even that light-headed, queasy feeling you get in the pit of your stomach every time someone walks near that you think you're in love with. But in the ancient world, there are many words to express different kinds of love. There is eros and philia and agape, all different types of words to describe the feeling that we call love. In this particular passage, two of those words were used to describe two different types of love. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And when Jesus used the term love, he used the agape type of love. That was a divine love. And when Peter answered him, "You know, Lord, that I love you," Peter used the word filial love, which is a brotherly type love. Jesus wanted to know if Peter loved him in a divine way. In Bible times, agape love took on a special divine meaning. It meant showing kindness to total strangers. It became a love that one chose to show. It became a love that was the opposite of emotional love. It was a self-sacrificial love, easily expressed by God, but sometimes difficult for men to understand or express. Agape love is a compassionate love, a kindness, an unselfish love. It's beyond natural feelings, a love that does not come naturally, but it only comes through the divine nature in which God imparts to us. So when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" he was speaking about this special kind of love called agape love. It was a new kind of love, brand new, a love that is willing to give up and die for an enemy. It was the highest level of love possible, the love that can only come from God and through God. It's a love of the mind and of the will. It's not an emotional love. It's a love born of choice, a love that says, "I will love you regardless of feelings. Someone may insult you. Someone may injure you. Someone may abuse you or humiliate you, but agape love chooses to seek only the highest good for that person that you might call an enemy. It's a sacrificial love that is willing to die even for an enemy." So Jesus now is asking Peter, "Do you agape me, Peter? Do you love me with that divine, self-sacrificing, sacrificial love? Do you love me with the type of love that's willing to die for me, Peter? Do you agape me, Peter? Do you love me with divine love?" In case you missed the point, Jesus is trying to instruct Peter, trying to tell him and teach him about a new kind of love, a type of love that had never been expressed on this earth before. It was a divine love. Jesus wanted Peter to understand what divine love was all about. Peter kept saying to Jesus, "I filial you, Jesus. I love you with a brotherly love." But Jesus didn't want brotherly love. He didn't want emotional love from Peter. He wanted a love from Peter where Peter would love him no matter what came, no matter what insults or injuries came about, no matter how much humiliation or fear Peter felt. Jesus wanted a love from Peter that was not based on emotions, but based on the Spirit, on the power of God. And that's the kind of love Jesus wants us to have for our brothers and our sisters. The Bible said that one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, and that's that special divine agape love. Jesus wants you to love your brothers and your sisters with agape love, divine love, not emotional love. Jesus wants you to love sacrificially. He wants you to love unconditionally. No matter what was said to you or what was done to you, godly love or divine love tells us to love no matter the consequences of our love, no matter what the return may be. In other words, you are to love even if you are not loved back. To love someone in exchange for something is not true love. To love someone for what you can get out of a relationship is not true love. But Peter finally realized and understood the type of love that Jesus was expressing to him, that special divine love, that self-sacrificial love, because 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Peter preached one of the longest sermons in the New Testament, and he did it bravely. He stood up before the men and women of Jerusalem, and he proclaimed Jesus to them, no longer afraid of death, no longer afraid of dying. The same Jesus that he had denied knowing and that he cursed and said, "I never knew that man." Now Peter is standing up in crowds of people, hundreds and thousands of people, proclaiming the name of Jesus and saying to them that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the people were so excited to hear Peter preach about Jesus. And when Peter finished, the Bible said, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The same Peter who ran and hid and denied Christ three times is the same Peter now that's preaching, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And the Bible said, "And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation." And the Bible said, "Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued, Peter with the other apostles, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers." The point I'm making today is no matter how bad you think you have disappointed God, no matter how many times you think you've rejected God, God has not given up on you. God does not hold your past against you. There's a song that we used to sing in the church that said, "If you live right, heaven belongs to you. If you pray right, heaven belongs to you." But I'm here to tell you today that the premise of that song is all wrong, because heaven belongs to you only because Jesus died for your sins. Jesus went to the cross for your sins. That's why heaven belongs to you, not because of any works that you might do. It's based solely on the grace and mercy of an omnipotent, almighty God. For the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And again in Romans 4:4, the Bible says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." I am Pastor Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. The zip code is 11369. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported program and is made possible by your financial gifts and free will offerings. If this program has encouraged you or blessed your life, then become a Kingdom Partner by donating to this ministry every month. Call or donate online today so that people everywhere will be blessed by the good news of God's Word. I want you to know that I listen to every message, read and pray over every email and letter that comes into my office and website. I also would like to invite you to come and worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. at the New Covenant Church of God. Or you can learn more about Healing Hearts Ministries at healingheartsnyc.org. That's healingheartsnyc.org. Or you can call us at 917-935-5374. That's 917-935-5374. Until next time, this is Pastor Tapper saying, a man or a woman who never gives up cannot be defeated.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917 917- 800-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.